I'd like to acknowledge the other folks who have worked on this project, and I know I don't look like a Britt Rios Ellis, and I was actually asked on Monday to do this presentation when she was diagnosed with pneumonia and couldn't travel to the meeting. So, and I was also on sabbatical in the spring when most of the work that was done on this part of the paper, or the project, was conducted. So you'll have to bear with me a little bit if I'm not quite as familiar with the material as Britt would be. I'd like to present a little bit about some of the background, the reason why we took the approach that we did in dealing with Latina HIV risks. As is well known now, minorities of color are much more at risk for HIV than white Americans, and African Americans are the most severely impacted group, but Latinos are also heavily impacted, and approximately 80% of HIV-infected women are minorities, and many become infected through heterosexual transmission. And as an increasing number of women become infected through heterosexual contact, focusing on the family can provide us with a culturally relevant entree into a population that is very concerned about the health of their families. Specifically, regarding Latinos and HIV, HIV rates are more than three times higher among Latinos than whites. And the percentage of new cases, AIDS cases among Latinos, has increased in the last 15 years. Many Latinos receive an AIDS diagnosis within 12 months of learning their HIV status, and part of this is due to lack of access, health insurance and health access, and lack of regular interaction with the healthcare system. And also, we know that many Latinos are unaware of their HIV status until late in the progression of the disease, and that many Latina, the women, find out only when their husbands become ill or die from AIDS-related conditions. CDC data show that Latinos were the only minority group to demonstrate a doubling of HIV infection due to heterosexual infection between 2000 and 2005. And a growing body of research indicates that the most influential risk factor for Latinos in rural Mexico is marriage. As the epidemic in much of the world, that's the case in many other countries as well. And data collected among Latino women living with AIDS in Los Angeles County and receiving medical care in the largest HIV care clinic in the county identified that 65% of them reported having had only one sexual partner in their entire life. So Latino women are at risk for a number of reasons. These include predetermined roles and family pressures. The paternal head of the household has more expectations about that she'll be taking care of the family, so she is less likely to take care of herself. In some Latino families, infidelity is implicitly condoned by silent acceptance, and there's also the potential for violence, and men abusive relationships may be condoned in some families as well. There's also a great deal of stigma associated with HIV, the behaviors that get it, and there's a lot of homophobia in many among many Latinos, and women are particularly at risk because of the stigma associated with those and the fact that they're seen not only as a failure that they got sick, but that probably they were in unfaithful as well. Heterosexually identified men who have sex with men but don't tell their female partners is a problem in many cultures. In the African American community, they talk about men being on the down low, but it's also common among Latinos, and these men do not subscribe to the mainstream gay culture and are either unaware of or refuse to disclose their HIV status. And research has shown that men who are receptive partners may see themselves or may be seen more as gay, but men who are insertive partners aren't perceived as homosexual or bisexual in any way. And this may be even more exacerbated among Latino men who are more macho because they have to hide it even more in that situation. So now I'd like to talk a little bit about the program that we've been developing. The project was called the Women and Intergenerational HIV/AIDS Prevention Project. It was sponsored by the Office on Women's Health. And it was designed to assess the barriers to communication regarding sexuality and HIV/AIDS among Latinas, increase HIV/AIDS-related communication among Latinas of diverse ages, create opportunities for HIV prevention education and testing within the communities that we're working, and develop an effective model and curriculum to be helped to educate Latinas regarding the risks of HIV and AIDS. And the project was designed to be carried out in three phases. The RFA that came out said that was the way we were supposed to do it, so we followed those instructions. And the first phase was a series of focus groups that would look at some of the contextual issues among Latinas in our target area. The second was the development of the curriculum and a series of pilot tests of that curriculum. I'll be talking a little bit about the focus groups and the initial pilot tests. So in phase one, we did work with a couple of community groups in the East Los Angeles area. We also had a community advisory board. I just want to recognize the good work that they did. And the first phase of the project included several focus groups. There were eight total with different age groups of Latinas. And they were held in either English, Spanish, or in both languages. Most of those with the older women were in Spanish. The younger women preferred to speak English for the most part, even when we tried to recruit Spanish-speaking only young women. We couldn't do that very well. Okay. So much of what we heard will probably resonate with those of you who work with Latinas. And we found that mature women's reasons for coming to the focus group and the reasons that they were interested in this area was mainly to protect their children and to be able to provide them with increased information. So as I said, they were worried most about their youth HIV risk, particularly regarding the differences in what their children would face in the United States than what they faced in their home country. But they also had other things that they were interested in for themselves. So they expressed a desire to be in a life situation in which they would be in greater control and less risk for HIV. They repeated what the literature showed is that their risk often centered around their male partner's behaviors, and the women had little control over what their male partners do. They wanted to learn more about their bodies and how they function and thought that these topics should be integrated into HIV/AIDS prevention efforts. And they were all very willing to undergo HIV testing at the time of the focus groups, and most of them did. They also, we're asking specifically about communication with their children, and they said that they avoided communication about sex for a variety of reasons. They were embarrassed themselves. They hadn't had that talk with their parents. They didn't really have the modeling that might be necessary, and they lacked knowledge themselves. Now, among the young women, they had slightly different reasons that they were there. But in general, they wanted to have a different life than their mothers had. They wanted specifically to wait to be older before they had children. They wanted to have more education, nice things like a nice car, and to have a husband that's more like a partner who would share the responsibilities for the home. They also stated that there was little communication with their mothers and their fathers, because the parents weren't interested in talking about it, so they would hear things like, you'll learn about that at school, you're too young to learn or talk about sex. But they also avoided communication with their parents because they were often afraid of what their parents would say. So they were afraid that the parents would be suspicious that they were already engaging in sexual activity, and they didn't know how to initiate the conversation. They were less willing to have HIV tests, but most of them reported that they had not yet had sex, and so were not at risk. So after the focus groups were held, we had several meetings with our community advisory group and tried to develop an intervention that would be enjoyable and informative for the participants, would build on the findings from the focus groups, would optimize the content, and would incorporate the positive aspects of Familismo to ensure that the activities built on increasing family communication, and that we could find times and locations that would be convenient for people to attend. We also looked at some of the other programs that are out there that take similar approaches and use some of the information from those and the activities from those as was appropriate. The Office of Women's Health requested that the intervention be at least 4 sessions. We found for a lot of reasons that was not a very easy thing to do. So we basically lumped 2 sessions together and had 2 sessions that were longer instead of, we divided them up into 4, but it was basically a 2-session intervention. For the initial pilot of the intervention, we recruited mother-daughter dyads or intergenerational dyads. Most were mother-daughter, but there were some aunt-niece dyads as well. The youth had to be at least 12 years of age to participate. They all had to sign consent, in a sense. And then we asked them to commit to 2 time spans of 4 hours each and to give us some feedback at the end of the pilot. And then we wanted to make sure that they knew that what they were going to be talking about. So for that initial pilot phase, we had 9 mothers and 11 children. The average age was 43. Most of them were from Mexico, although 2 were from Nicaragua. And the average time in the United States was 21 years, so in a range from 6 to 30. And all of these women had tested for HIV. The daughters were average age of about 15 years, and they all spoke Spanish and English, and none had been tested for HIV, although 2 did get tested during their participation in the pilot. Now, the demographic information was, I'm going to skip a few things here since I'm running out of time. We then also did revise the intervention after that, and based on feedback from the participants. The adults were particularly surprised at the daughters' responses, at how engaged they were, how insightful they were in family dynamics. But there was also this concern that they needed to have more activities. So we took that and added some more activities, and I'll show you a little bit about now what the intervention was. The orientation session, just a brief go over what the project is, sign consents, and that kind of thing. The first session was started with an activity between mother and daughter where we broke the women up into their generational group. They talked about a variety of questions and then came back and reported back to their mothers or their daughters about what those things were that they had talked about. Also covered communication, Latino perceptions of cultural perceptions of sexual communication, barriers to communication. There was a role play activity between mothers and daughters. They went over dichos, which are commonly used in Latino culture to reinforce behaviors and ideals. And by using these dichos to frame Latinos' perceptions around sexuality, issues embedded in thoughts and behaviors can be examined. We also talked about the importance of open communication between parents and their children and recognition that each human being is sexual from birth to through adulthood. Session 2 looked at sexual values, looked at homosexuality. We did include overview of reproductive anatomy because that was asked for by the women. There was HIV 101 information, and then we asked people to make a commitment to come back to the next session. Session 3 included definition of the risks of HIV among Latinas, factors that increase risk, such as other STIs, the impact of infidelity on a Latina's HIV risk, and how to try to address that. Examination of women's roles in Latino culture and how those roles help and how they might hurt, and understanding and clarifying what participants want in a partner. And then for the last session, there was a section on committing to prevention, understanding increased risk for STIs, things that we included, things like then a condom demonstration role play, and how to negotiate condom use, and then there was a promises and value activity at the end. Okay, I'm going to get through this. So the second stage of the pilot will involve an additional 65 young and mature Latina female dyads from Paramount and Long Beach. We're hoping that we'll get more women and their daughters who have been in the United States a little bit less time than what we found in East Los Angeles, where I have evidence that that's a fairly mature community. And then we'll be conducting the intervention with them. We'll also be conducting 1 month follow-up calls to determine how frequently participants have talked about sex in their family since the intervention, and if they talked, the topics that they covered, their comfort level in talking about sex with family members and partners, their own perceived skills in talking about sex with family members and partners, and other ways that participation in the intervention affected them. Now, the initial, when this, I think the abstract was written, this was supposed to be done. Britt was going to be presenting the data from that for a number of logistical reasons. We're behind, and we'll just be starting those pilots next week. So maybe next year the results of that will be available. Thank you.